The Old Testament lesson today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our first New Testament lesson, our second lesson, is from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter, verses 15 through 17, and then skipping down to verses 21 and 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Then skipping down verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now to fully understand how all of these three scripture lessons fit together, I need to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible, or at least the Old Testament. And I start with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham to leave the land of his father and to go to the land where God will show him. And there God will make a great nation of him and his descendants. And through them, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And this great nation that God spoke of began with one son, Isaac. But that same promise was given to Isaac. And then the promise was also given to Isaac's son, Jacob, whom God renamed Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. And we know the story. One of them, they were jealous of Joseph and sold him into slavery into Egypt. where Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream and became second in power only to Pharaoh. And eventually, his brothers and his father and his whole family moved to Egypt. And after they grew and multiplied in Egypt, eventually there was a change in leadership in Egypt. The children of Israel were enslaved. God raises up Moses to bring them out of the wilderness, or out of slavery, and into the wilderness, ready to go to the land that God would give them, the promised land. And then God brings them into the land, and it's divided among the 12 tribes, those 12 sons of Jacob, of Israel. And for centuries, they are ruled by judges, no king. And then finally, they have their first king, King Saul, who did bad in the sight of God. And he was replaced by King David, who did great. He was the best king throughout their history. And then he was followed by David's son Solomon, who was known for his wisdom. And it's at this point things begin to fall apart. After Solomon died, his son took over, and the people came and they complained about the taxes. Oh, your father taxed us too much. We will follow you forever if you'll just lower the taxes. And he said, no way. I'm raising the taxes. You thought I'd make my father look generous in light of what I'm going to do with you. And there was a civil war. And the nation was divided in two. We had the northern kingdom, which consisted of the 10 tribes, and they were called Israel. And you had the southern kingdom, which included Jerusalem, that was 2 tribes. And they stayed this way for a long time, and they had this crazy relationship. Sometimes they would fight one another, and other times they would ally with each other, and just a dysfunctional family. Around 730 B.C., the northern tribe, Israel, was conquered by the Assyrians. The Assyrians, their capital city was Nineveh, which you might know from the story of Jonah. It's in modern-day Iraq, and it is currently being occupied by ISIS. But the Assyrians came in, attacked Israel, and took a lot of the people from there and deported them and mixed them in throughout the Assyrian Empire with the idea that if you're distributed all around, you'll lose your cohesiveness as a people. And they imported people into what had been Israel. And there they intermarried those that had been left behind. And these became known as Samaritans. The Jews considered them half-breeds and despised them. By the time of Jesus, the Jews that lived in Galilee, who were traveling to Jerusalem, where Samaria was in between, they would take the bypass around Samaria, cross the Jordan River, go through Jordan, and then cut back across to come down, because they so despised these half-breed Samaritans. Well, about 130 years after the Assyrians conquered Israel, the Babylonians, whose headquarters was also in modern-day Iraq, conquered Judah, destroyed the temple, took the best and the brightest, and shipped them off to various places throughout the Babylonian Empire. These Jews, though, for the most part, didn't intermarry with other groups. And they stayed faithful, and 70 years later, many of them returned to Jerusalem and Judea. When the prophet Isaiah wrote the words that we just read, he was writing to a broken, disheartened, discouraged people. They had been defeated. They had been shipped off to other lands. and they didn't know what was going to happen. Their God had been defeated. Their temple destroyed. And this empire was trying to cause them to lose their identity. And so the prophet writes and says, God's still with you. God still cares for you. And God will be bringing you back to your land. Because God has purposes for you. Remember the promise to Abraham that all the nations will be blessed through you. You've got to come back. And troubles and hardships and all these things, they won't stop you. Because I found favor. God has found favor with you. He knows you. He's given you a new identity. And he knows your name. And you are part of the family. That was our Old Testament reading. Our New Testament reading is the story of Philip. Philip was a Hellenistic Jew, Christian. And that means he was part of, his descendants were part of the ones that were taken into exile by Babylon. But when many of the Jews came back, his family would not have come back. They would have stayed wherever they had been placed. And therefore, they maintained their Jewish religion, their Jewish beliefs, but they were also heavily influenced by the Greek culture that had been taken around the world throughout Alexander the Great. And what it means is that Philip read his Old Testament in Greek, as opposed to reading it in Hebrew. But when Christianity came to Israel or to Jerusalem with the disciples, the apostles, Philip became one of the followers. And in fact, he became one of the deacons when the deacons were first created. But then when persecution came to the church in Jerusalem, where Paul, or Saul, as he was called there, began to persecute the church, and Stephen had been put to death, many of the Christians fled Jerusalem to other parts of the world. And Philip was one of those. And he went to Samaria, those dreaded, hated half-breeds. And he preached the gospel of Jesus. And they accepted it. And he baptized them in the name of Jesus, and the word began to spread back to Jerusalem. And they said, we need to investigate this. So they send the top guns. They send Peter and John. These are the two big leaders of the church. He sends them to go find out what's going on. And I wonder what they're thinking as they go. Because these are hated people. Yet, Jesus, in the midst of his 3 years on earth, he took time to spend 2 days in one town in Samaria where he had met the woman at the well. When Jesus gave his final command to the apostles, he said, go and preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the furthest ends of the earth. Maybe this is going back to that promise to Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed. But here it is, Samaria. And so they lay hands, Peter and John lay hands on these Samaritans, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That same Holy Spirit that had come upon the apostles at Pentecost. Whoa. These Samaritans, they're part of the family too. Then we go to the gospel lesson. John is baptizing people around the Jordan, creating quite a reputation. People are coming to find out who this guy is, what he's preaching, and they think, maybe he's the Messiah. But John quickly puts that to rest. He says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I baptize with water, but there's one coming. Baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the one you want. And then we read about Jesus being baptized and the Holy Spirit coming down upon him like a dove. And the voice coming out of heaven saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. This is the Son of God coming and being baptized so that he is identifying himself with us. I am one with these people." So that he might teach us about God, that he might die on our behalf so that we might be received into the family. And when we are baptized, we are being baptized into him. As he was baptized joining us, now we are baptized joining him. And baptism is that seal of adoption, that a seal of acceptance into the family. I think one of the best stories I've heard that illustrates that is told by my friend, my teacher, my mentor, Ray Bakke. He was here a year ago this past September. But he talks about his son. Ray pastored an inner city church in Chicago. And his children went to the public schools of Chicago. And these were extremely diverse schools with something like over 100 languages spoken at these schools that his sons attended. And his son Woody became friends with this kid named Brian. And he would have Brian come over, and Brian would eat supper with them. Brian would hang out with them. Seemed like Brian was living with them. Turns out that Brian, in middle school, was homeless. Make a long story short, Ray and his wife adopt Brian into their family. And what Ray likes to say, there was one problem with this. We already had a son named Brian. But he said, then he goes on to say, but it was easy to tell them apart. There was the one Brian who was of Norwegian descendancy. He had white skin, blonde hair. The other Brian, his descendants came from Africa. Dark skin, black hair. You can tell them apart. But he says about a month after Brian had become adopted and was part of the family, he came to Ray and he said, "Dad, you are the only father I know. Since I've been 9 years old, I've been on the streets looking for my father, my dad. Because I wanted a dad. And I looked at every pimp on the street and I wondered, is that my father? But Dad, I get it now. I get how it works. You sent your son Woody to the schools. And I met him there and I became his friend. And I was invited into your house and I was invited to your table. And I was adopted into the family. I get it, Dad, how it works. God sent Jesus to the world. And anyone who becomes his friend becomes part of the family. It's adopted in." And Ray says, he nailed it. Here's this middle school kid. He's got it right. This is the story. God adopts us into the family. And the way we recognize this in the church is through baptism. That seal of acceptance. That seal of being part of the family, adopted in. Now those who are members of the church, and perhaps those that even aren't members of the church, have been baptized. And when you are baptized, you make certain vows, or someone is making vows on your behalf if you were baptized as an infant. And what I want us to do this morning is to remember those vows. I want us to renew those vows this morning. And I want to share, there are four of them that we make. I want to share them one at a time and take a moment for you to pray, for you to renew that vow. And then I'm going to say, you have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The first vow that is made is that we profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. So let's take a moment and reaffirm that. We have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second vow is that we renounce evil and we reaffirm our assurance of God's grace for our lives. So let us reaffirm that vow. You have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The third vow is that you will be an active and responsible in the worship and mission of the church. Let's reaffirm that. You have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the final vow is our intention that we will be nurturing ourselves in the faith, that we'll be nurturing our children in the faith, that we will nurture one another in the faith so that we might be growing as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us reaffirm that vow. You have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are part of the family, adopted in through the work that Christ has done for us. And we are that blessing that God spoke of when he told Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. We are that blessing as we go out and minister to our world. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that we can reaffirm our vows of baptism, whether we made them ourselves or whether they were made on our behalf. We recommit ourselves to them now. And we ask that you would be at work in our lives. We might grow in our faith and that we might serve your kingdom and that we might indeed be a blessing to all the nations of the world. We pray this in the name of our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made our adoption possible. Amen.